for argument today is 21-1548, Starkist v. United States. Mr. Roll, please proceed. Did they have to hire an attorney with a bread name for the sandwich case? Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, there'll be a few intended puns along the way, I'm sure.
I imagine I'm not the first one to mention that.
Yeah. We'll see some red herrings in this case, I'm sure.
But I'm fine.
Couldn't resist. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court, I'm Mike Roll from Roll & Harris for Starkist. Luckily, this is a fairly simple case in terms of the product and what's happening. The issues, as you know from reading the briefs, are whether the tuna fish salad is minced or not. That's issue one. And issue two is it packed in oil or not? And we don't get to the second issue until we resolve the first issue. On the issue of is it minced, the court below, Judge Reif, essentially agreed with our definition of what the word minced means, because he said it's cut or chopped into very small pieces. And specifically, I'm referring there to, I think it's page 4 of the slip opinion, where he's characterizing the party's positions. And he says, you are cut or chopped into very small pieces. Where we believe he erred is he went further than that and added other criteria, such as uniformity, size, texture. If we back up and start with the basic concepts of customs law, which is these are statutes, the tariff terms like minced, and we look first to the tariff to see is there a definition in the tariff for the word minced, and there's not.
Well, what is the problem with a definition that includes the 1/16th of an inch in length concept? I mean, when you say very small pieces, I think that there needs to be something, some measure of assessing whether they're small. And let me just say, I thought that your argument that they're smaller than the tuna as a whole was ridiculous, because that would be like saying a piece of beef tenderloin that is this large is smaller than the cow as a whole from which it came, and therefore it's minced meat. That makes no sense.
Well, so I'll address the 1/16th issue first. On the 1/16th of an inch issue, that came primarily from customs, because someone has to decide what is small to your latter comment there, right? A beef tenderloin relative to a cow may be small, but is it minced, right? And so there's nothing in the common or commercial meaning of what's that size. Is it 1/16th, 1/8th, et cetera? So customs introduced that definition. The court seems adopted it, although when you read Judge Reif's decision below, I don't think he held it as kind of a bright line rule. But even with that standard, we meet it. The majority of the product when you open the pouch couldn't even be measured. When the customs sent the product to the lab to measure, they couldn't measure around half of the product if you look at the lab report.
Counselor, you say the majority of the product. How about all of it? If you have a fillet of beef and half of it is minced and the other half is not, then do you have minced meat?
Sure. So if you have a mixture of things, if we're going to say that's the rule and some of my product is under 1/16th and some of it is over, in the example you're asking about, then GRI 2 of the tariff schedule tells you what to do when you have mixtures of things, right? If we had a tariff provision for white rice and black rice, and I had a bag of both black and white rice, and it's mostly white, right? I couldn't say it's white rice.
Yeah, but that would be a situation in which you started out with two different things and mixed them together. That's not what happened here. What happened here was there was incomplete mincing, incomplete processing. It's not a question in which you start with two different things and mix them together.
No, but the product in its imported condition is two different things. In this example, it's tuna that's under 1/16th of an inch.
No, it's the same thing. It's the same product, only prepared differently.
Okay, again, I would go back if I had rice or whatever that's of a certain grain size and under a certain grain size. I have a mixture of tuna that is of two different things. No,
well, but that's two different products, white rice and black rice or dark rice. Here, we're only talking about tuna. And I think the record is clear that there's chunks in the mixture.
Sure.
It's not uniform. The small pieces are not uniform.
But the statute doesn't require, every time in the tariff, it's required to be all 100%, let's say, under 1/16th or 100% of something, not this mixture concept. The statute says wholly of. So the design of the tariff specifically contemplates that you can have something that's not wholly of. And that's what that GRI 2 is designed to accomplish.
What about the fact that it's advertised as not being minced. It's advertised as being chunky. That seems to be a feature which the importer itself seems to be recognizing as significant in the advertising.
Sure, Judge Dykes. So on that, and there is reference, and the government makes reference to that, that, hey, you call this chunk. And the reason for that is their FDA standards. You're not allowed to call it anything other. There are five choices in the FDA regulation, because it's a food product. We have to serve that master, not just customs. So we couldn't call it minced. There's just no way.
But you don't have to call it anything. I mean, you don't have to say minced or chunk. But even one of the packages alone, it says chunky on it. So apparently it's advantageous to the manufacturer or the retailer to sell tuna that is, you know, has small pieces, but also has the larger pieces, the chunky pieces.
Yeah. Oh, again, I would go back. Minced doesn't mean the absence of chunk, right? Chunk is not the tariff term that's at issue here. It's minced.
It's minced.
Right. So.
Well, chunks are not minced, right?
I'm sorry?
Chunks are not minced.
Well, it depends what the definition of minced is.
What definition of minced says that chunks are minced?
Again, the Oxford English Dictionary, they all talk about cut into very small pieces. Where I think at the end, someone has to resolve how small is small. To Chief Judge Moore's point earlier, if we had half the tuna and I'd say, oh, this half is smaller than the whole tuna, I'm not going to say that's a minced piece of tuna. We said it here because a 1-inch piece of tuna or a 1/16-inch piece of tuna relative to an 80-pound tuna is a lot smaller. I mean, I think by far. So let me, if I can, turn to the second issue because I just want to make sure we cover that as well. Or is that okay? On the second issue, which is an in-oil question, the term and the statute.
Now, we don't get to this issue unless there's a question or we don't resolve minced, correct?
Well, if you rule that the product is not minced, then we need to resolve is right. It in oil or not.
Okay.
In the event the court decides that the product is not minced, then we have to resolve is it packed in oil?
The case ends if we resolve it is minced.
If we say it is minced, then you do not need to reach this issue. Okay. That is correct. Because then it would fall into 1604.20, which is the prepared meal provision. The oil, not oil issue is only under the not minced category. So turning to that issue, again, the phrase is not simply in oil. The statutory language says packed in oil. And we believe the judge below erred in drawing a line on where the preparation phase ends and the packing phase begins.
You agree that the fact that it's packed in mayo, if it were packed in mayo, that's packed in oil, right?
I'm sorry, if it's...
The fact that it's mayonnaise,
yes,
rather than separated oil doesn't make a difference, right?
Yeah, we are not making a distinction that, hey, this is mayonnaise, so this has nothing to do with oil. The issue, though, is that when you make a tuna fish salad product, you take the fish, you cook it, mince it, cut it, chop it. Let's not go to that issue again. And then you mix it with the mayonnaise and then the vegetables. That's all the preparation of the fish. That is clearly a preparation. We know that because the manufacturing instructions say that. That's in the appendix. We know that because the government admitted it. And we know that because the explanatory notes to the tariff schedule say that that's all a preparation. So in this case, unlike the Del Monte case.
That's the preparation. I would have thought that the preparation of the fish would end with the chopping.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
I would think that the preparation of the fish ends with the chopping of the fish.
But it doesn't because the tariff schedule and explanatory notes say that that's not. That when you mix fish with sauce, which is what we're doing here, the mayonnaise is a sauce, that is a preparation. And the record, the factual record, with all respect, Your Honor, with what you would think that that's the end of the preparation is the cooking or the chopping. The factual record here says otherwise. In other words, the preparation instructions for the fish say that the mixing of it with the mayonnaise is part of the preparation. So it was the judge below who said, but in my opinion, preparation ends when you finish cooking the fish. Because he was thinking, I believe, of the Richter and the Stromar cases where fish was being cooked.
What's your response to when you read HTSUS Chapter 16, the additional note, U.S. Note 1, and it says whether such oil or fat was introduced at the time of packing or prior to.
Mm-hmm.
So here, Is it correct that the evidence on the record shows that the oil that we're talking about is introduced prior to packing? You argue it's done as a result of packing, or it's part of the packing?
It's part of the preparation. The adding of the mayonnaise is in the preparation phase, not the packing phase. It is true that the statute says or added prior thereto, but it's prior to the packing of the fish. So if you have a can and you put the fish in first and then the oil, that was the case in Del Monte, the Del Monte case, it's packed in oil. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if I put the oil in and then the fish, in other words, in either order, you could be adding the oil prior to packing the fish, because the packing has to reference something in the note you're referring to, Your Honor, which is the fish. When are you packing the fish? And it doesn't matter if you put the oil in the can first or the pouch or the fish in first. That's the prior thereto language.
Well, why doesn't that cover this?
Because we don't put any, there's no, the only packing that happens here is after they make the tuna fish salad, it goes in a pouch. But there's no oil that they're putting in. Like in Del Monte, they cook the fish. This is very different from Del Monte. They cook the fish, they put the fish in the pouch, then they poured a sauce in as they were packing it and closing the pouch. That's packed in oil. That's what that case said. That's not this case.
Well, it says, or prior thereto.
But then what does the phrase packed mean? In other words, the prior thereto, if you read it that broadly, so as to say, as long as there's oil in that pouch, which we're calling the mayonnaise here, if you read it that broadly, you're going to eviscerate the statutory word of packed. Right, it's packed in oil. It's not in oil. That was an important change.
So it's after the preparation of the fish, and the fish is prepared once the chopping is completed. But and then if you mix it with something else, then that is prior thereto the addition of oil.
I guess, Your Honor, if the preparation phase ends, then I would agree with you. But I think the record is that that's not what happens. And if you look at page 56 and 60.
Well, is it the preparation of the fish or the preparation of the product?
It's the preparation of the tuna salad product. In other words,
What tells us that we're looking to the preparation of the product rather than the preparation?
Fish preparation. On Joint Appendix page 56, step 2. Tuna fish preparation, and in those steps it talks about mixing it with the mayonnaise. Fish preparation. It's not, and the same thing on page 61. I'm reading from that those pages are marked confidential in the joint appendix, but those sentences are not confidential.
Well, this is your own thing, right?
Yeah, but in other words, it would be completely arbitrary and ignoring the records, the factual records. Fish preparation says that. The request for admission that was served on the government admitted those facts. Those are the facts, that the preparation includes mixing in the mayonnaise together with the chopped up cooked fish.
Mr. Roll, you're into significantly
into
rebuttal
time. Yeah, I have very little time left.
Do you want to save it? Yeah.
I will just reserve whatever little time I have left, if that's okay. Thank you very much.
Counsel, how do I say your name?
Vanderweed?
Okay, Mr. Vanderweed, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This Court should affirm the trial court's decision that Starkist tuna salad products are pieces of tuna, but not minced, and in oil, for two reasons. First of all, none of Starkist tuna has been minced. For Starkist to prevail, all of the tuna in the product must have been minced. The tariff says minced, which implies a process that was undertaken to mince the fish, and the result of that process, which is minced fish.
Well, what if the package is 99.9% minced, but one little piece, which is not quite little enough, maybe a little bit bigger than 1/16th, was in there, and that's normal. It's, you know, the mincing process, they put it through this grinder, and every once in a while, one or two little pieces get through that end up being slightly larger. Would you say that then that product is not minced?
By the terms of the tariff, I would say it's not minced, Your Honor, because the tariff says
99.99999% of this package is tiny, tiny little pieces, way smaller than 1/16th. But if one tiny chunk that is bigger than 1/16th, but still really small, gets through, not minced.
At that point, Your Honor, unless the court were to consider that de minimis at that point, that wouldn't affect just the construction of the term minced itself. But again, going back, we have to look at how the actual process that was undertaken. Was there a mincing process that was undertaken? And yes, what is
I'm not persuaded by your argument that the mincing had to occur during the chopping phase as opposed to during the mixing phase. Because if the ultimate product at the end of the day was completely uniformly of a less than 1/16th character, whether it was done by the chopper or done by the fork, it wouldn't really matter to me. Mincing is cutting into very small pieces.
Exactly. And in this, with this product, there is, we have, where the product is chopped into roughly inch-long pieces, inch-long or so, and then there's hand mixing. There's no further cutting or chopping that's done.
Yes, but the hand mixing is what causes, it's tuna, for God's sake. But the hand mixing causes the chopping up of it.
But even under Starkist's definition of what's to be minced, to cut or chop into very small pieces, there's no cutting or chopping with the hand mixing. The hand mixing is to keep some structure.
It is cutting and chopping. Cutting and chopping occurs by virtue of whether it's a fork or a spoon or whatever you're doing. Do you know that when I eat fish, I don't use a knife? I only use a fork personally. Does that mean I'm not cutting my fish into pieces by virtue of the fact that I'm using a fork?
I could say maybe you're flaking your fish into pieces, but cutting...
I don't generally think I'm flaking my fish when I eat it. I usually think I'm cutting it, but...
I understand your point, Your Honor, but I'd like to think in this scenario that to mince, looking at the cooking and culinary sources, the concept of a mince is cutting. There's cutting that's actually taking place.
No, actually, most of the definitions include a secondary definition, which is to separate into very small pieces. That doesn't even involve the word cutting at all. It doesn't have that kind of verb. It's talking about the resultant product. I mean, minced meat, minced is sort of an adjective, right? It's not a verb.
Minced, a product that is minced has been minced. It presumes that it has been minced. The entirety of the product has been minced.
Yes, but the definitions of minced that were submitted on the record all included definitions that just says to separate into very small pieces.
But at the same time, very small pieces can subsume a whole different number of cuts. There's small dice, medium dice, julienne cuts, Paysan cuts, all
but
these different cuts that can fall
don't
within
require
that.
Require it having been done with a chopping machine as opposed to a fork.
But, well, here, what are the facts that we know here?
Counselor, here we know that was a fork used in the preparation of the fish?
No fork was used. There was a chopping machine, and the chopping machine set a target to cut or to chop the pieces of tuna into roughly inch-long pieces or so. At that point, the fish was hand-mixed with all the other ingredients.
How was it hand-mixed?
It was hand by hand.
Like a person's hand?
Yeah, a person's hand. An operator's hand.
So you're thinking a person isn't capable of creating minced meat?
I don't. I think in order to have
with
a minced
fish.
Product...
This is fish. And Congress knew, I mean, with this tariff, they were talking about fish, right? They weren't, your position would be stronger, it seems, if they were talking about minced beef, right? But when Congress knew it was talking about minced fish, everybody knows fish can be broken apart very easily with any kind of tool. So it's not like they were specifying a particular tool that had to be used to cause the breaking. I can make minced meat with my hands. I am positive I can. Whatever your definition of minced meat is, I am positive I can make it with my hands, with fish.
Okay, understood, Your Honor, but let's still look at...
What difference does it make here? Even if we look at the final product, it's not in very small 1/16 of an inch pieces.
That was the point I was just about to make, Your Honor. It's just regardless of exactly the method of cutting, chopping, using a fork, hand, whatever you have, at the end of the day... You don't have a uniform 1/16th of an inch pieces.
Well, that uniform thing is bothering me again. Let's go back to it. When you're talking about the chunk light tuna, 82% of the pieces are so small as to be unmeasurable. So they definitely meet the less than 1/16th. So you're talking about the vast majority of what's in that product that is being conveyed. I mean, 82% of it absolutely meets the definition. That means 18% of it is larger than 1/16th. Why isn't that some sort of fact question about whether or not the product is minced.
Well, the 82%, that was with one variety. It was less in another variety.
Okay, but let's just stick with my example.
Okay, let's stay with that example. That's in surface area that we're talking about. That's just in two dimensions. And again, it wasn't that the rest of the fish was unmeasurable. It means that that was just the amount of fish that couldn't be separated from all the other ingredients that the lab can actually take that piece of tuna and measure it. What's provided for here and how this fish is described as are pieces of tuna. That's what the tariff provides, pieces of tuna, but not minced. And we submit that there was no, even though we seem to disagree with the mincing process, you still don't have entirely minced fish at the end of the day.
But that's going back to your argument that 82% of it, if 82% of it is minced, it's not minced.
Yes, that's correct.
But here, just to make sure, your argument requires 100% of what's in the package to be minced in order for this to qualify as minced.
So that the tariff, that definition, so that the tariff word minced actually has some meaning. Otherwise, if it hasn't all been minced, then there's pieces of fish, which is what the tariff provides for, pieces of fish, but not minced. And so all of it needs to be minced in order.
So 100%, 99.999% of a 100-pound bag of fish that is minced with one chunk that is not minced, i.e. not less than 1/16, according to you, that is not minced fish.
Yes, Your Honor. That's the government's reason.
Well, counsel, you say that, and I mean, I guess we're all experienced somewhat to some degree in tuna fish that we eat and everything, but Customs did a scientific study here, didn't they? I mean, Customs, their decision was based on an investigation that they undertook in actually measuring these pieces out, and this is what was given to them was not something that was 99% minced. It was up to 80% in small pieces and the other in bigger pieces, right?
82%.
Yes. 82%. That's right. For one variety, it was 82%. For another variety, it was less than that. It was, I believe it was 58%.
But you reject the idea that we should look at too little I, the part with the essential character. You, in order for you to prevail, you believe it has to be 100%, correct?
Essential character is GRI-3B, a composite good.
Okay,
here we have GRI-1. GRI-1 is just the terms of the heading and any controlling notes. And here the terms of GRI-1 is enough to resolve this issue. We do not submit that the product can be both minced and not minced. It's either minced or it's not minced because the tariff term says minced, which implies that the entirety was minced. That's the government's position.
What about Mr. Roll's position that in many instances the tariff uses the words wholly of, which implies quite clearly or states quite clearly that those products need to be entirely of that variety. So when the tariff doesn't use the terms wholly of, that would suggest that this could be a mixture of sorts, like he is arguing.
But at the same time, we believe that the term minced implies a past tense verb that has been completed, that an action has been completed. The tariff doesn't say of a minced size or partially minced. It says minced, which implies that
but
all of the
tuna
has been
minced. But it doesn't say wholly of minced.
It's true. It doesn't, but I don't think it needs to because the term minced implies that the action has been completed.
But see, again, now you're returning to the definition that requires 100% absolute uniformity.
Well, I think it's also, if there was an indication that Starkist set out in its process memorandum to mince its fish and that it wanted the results of its fish to be of minced proportions and it accomplished that, and that's what it set out to do, but one of those little pieces was bigger than a minced, well, then maybe that's a different story because at least we knew then that Starkist was undertaking a mincing process.
Yeah, but there's got to be some de minimis exception, right?
I can see that.
If you have 100 pounds of fish and there's one little piece that's more than 1/16 of an inch.
I acknowledge that. I want to give respect to the term minced, that it implies that all of it has been minced, but I do understand that there could be a de minimis aspect of it, especially if Starkist were to say in its process memorandum, we want to mince this fish. We're going to mince this fish. We're going to set the chopper to these standards, and we're going to get it to 1/16 of an inch. And then they actually successfully did that. Here, even if that, there's no indication that they set out to mince the product. There's no resulting complete mince product or even diminished mince because
there's... Do you think intent is relevant? This is an HTSUS term, minced fish. Whether I intended my fish to be chunky or intended it to be minced seems to me irrelevant to whether what you import meets the definition.
And at the end of the day...
Is that correct or not?
No, that's correct. At the I just... There needs to be a concept
likewise,
of misfire.
How I advertise it seems equally irrelevant to whether what I'm importing does or does not fall within the definition. Is that correct?
I mean, it's true. It's true. It's indicative of the nature of the product, though. Just as the process memorandum, what Stark's intention is, they want a chunky product. You have pieces that are way bigger than the size of a mince in both of these products.
But again, what they wanted or what they intended is not relevant to what they actually imported, correct?
Well, it's relevant.
To the decision of whether what they actually imported falls within one of the HTSUS categories.
But it's relevant to the tariff term minced, to the extent that they set out to mince a product and that the product was actually minced.
You believe that whether or not they intended to mince a product is relevant to the definition of whether a product is in fact minced?
I think it's relevant to whether... What does minced mean? Again, it goes back to what does minced mean? And minced has to be something that there's a result, yes, but what created that result? And I'm not saying that it's just that we have to look at the intent. I'm just saying that that's indicative of whether the product here was actually minced. It's a factual inquiry whether or not it was minced.
I've got plenty of cases suggesting that how a product was advertised was a relevant consideration.
Your Honor, no. Not with respect to at least this tariff provision with minced.
If we back up a little bit and not think in terms of intent, but perhaps the results, or we're talking about preparation, the what does the evidence show as to how this fish was prepared and what's the result of that preparation?
Exactly. Exactly. And how the fish was prepared was to chop into roughly inch-long pieces or so, hand-mix, and then what is the result of that process?
Well, how can it not be relevant how they characterize the result in advertising for the product?
No, I'm sorry if I misspoke, Your Honor. It is relevant. It is relevant. They want a chunky product. They don't want a minced product.
It's not a question of what they want. It's a question of how they characterized it.
Yes. How Stark has characterized their product and what they intended to be. If Your Honors, can I quickly move on to, I have only a minute left to address the in oil argument. Listen. So,
there's a chief here.
Yes.
Fine by me.
Okay. We also submit that the Stark's tuna salad pouches are packed in oil because the medium containing the tuna pieces is an oil and fat based mayonnaise. And the container in which the tuna salad is packed in, that oil can be introduced per the note, whether at the time of packing or as packaging, as Stark's seems to limit it to, or prior thereto. Even if it was just limited to the time of packaging, the tuna salad, when it's placed in the pouches, contains an oil-based mayo. At that time that tuna salad is funneled into the pouches, it's being packed in oil or fat. This is not some sort of residual oil or fat that was unintended. This is something that Stark's added to its pouches purposely to serve as the medium for their product.
Which dictionary definitions do you believe require uniformity, i.e. none or only a de minimis amount of larger product?
We're looking at not dictionary definitions for minced. We're looking at...
Wait, I have this all in the appendix. 227, 228, aren't these dictionaries?
There are dictionary definitions. We're also... Dictionary definitions are getting to, you know, cut or chop into very small pieces. And that was the definition that the trial court referenced and that Stark's is adhering to. We've also brought in different other culinary sources, such as the Elements of Cooking, Lifehacker, the Spruce Eat, which these are describing as to cut her very small pieces, the smallest possible pieces,
Doesn't one of your definitions on 226 actually says mince, to cut into very small pieces where uniformity or shape is not important?
It's true that there's not a uniform sort of concept within the industry. There are different definitions.
No, not uniform within the industry. where uniformity or shape is not important, that's suggesting the uniformity of the size of the very small pieces.
But then there's also the elements of cooking in the culinary cook that specifically mention uniformity, as that's a part of minced.
Do you believe that the district court concluded it had to be uniform?
I believe that that was just one quality that it was looking at of whether the product was
but
minced.
But did it conclude that it had to be uniform or it wasn't minced?
No, not directly, because we're also looking at just, when we're getting down to that small, 1/16 by 1/16 by 1/16, it's going to, inherently, it can't be exactly that. It's going to be approximate.
Did the district court conclude that all of the pieces had to be less than 1/16 in order to be minced?
It wasn't expressly stated in those terms. The district court was looking at what is, it was looking more as the essential character of the product. That's the analysis that it took. And it found the essential character to be pieces of tuna, but not minced pieces of tuna.
If you concede that there could be de minimis amounts of pieces that wouldn't qualify under whatever the definition of minced is in a product that is imported, and yet that product could still be considered minced, what is the line for de minimis that the government would suggest? 99%, 80%? What would be the line?
I'd say 99%.
So it has to be 99% minced. If more than 1% of the product isn't minced, it's not minced.
Yes. Okay. Right. Your Honors, do you have any further questions?
Well, I mean, you're just guessing, right? You don't have a basis to make that statement.
I mean, our position is that all of the tuna has to be minced. That's our position.
But 100%. Your position is 100%.
That's our position. It's 100%. But recognizing that if there is a de minimis exception that this court wants to adhere to, we would submit that that would be as close to 100% as possible. It would be de minimis, that it would be so insignificant that it would be as close to 100% as possible. Thank you, Your Honor. Do you have any further questions? Thanks. Okay.
Mr. Bowl, you have some rebuttal time.
Mr. Roll, do you have experience in the kitchen?
Yes, my wife would probably tell me not very good experience, but yes.
So have I. I love to cook. If my wife tells me, I want you to mince this onion, and I chop it off into these little bitty pieces, and 20% I leave it in bigger pieces. What's the result? Is it minced onion?
I guess you'd have to ask your wife. My wife would probably tell me it's close enough. but on this issue of the size and this holy of, does it have to be 100%? It's, to me, bears, like, the facts of this case are important as opposed to the hypotheticals are important to test the limits, but the facts here are, when you look at the lab report, it is kind of close to this line of questioning from Chief Judge Moore about if it's all under 1/16th or it's all these little pieces, but there are some other ones that are bigger, which, you know, to the extent you're going to say that that defeats it from becoming minced, look at the lab report, which is on page 433 and 434 of the joint appendix. When you really break this down in the numbers from the lab, not what I'm saying, not what opposing counsel is saying, but the numbers from the lab, first of all, 1/16th of an inch is 0.4 centimeters, just for the rough conversion. When you look at the chart there of how many pieces of what they can measure, and I know it's a little bit small and hard to read, but you look in the column where it says area, centimeters squared, and you go down the list. Remember, this is only
What page number are you at?
433 and 434.
Okay.
There are two pages because one for one version, one for the other version of the tuna. But when you look at the numbers there, and again, this is of what they could measure. Half the product they couldn't measure. So right away, 50% of the product wasn't even measurable. It was that small. So from what was left, they gave these charts in the upper right-hand corner where they break down the size and what the size range was. But if you add up under area centimeter squared, how many of those are 0.4 or below? It's the majority of them. That plus the half of the product that they couldn't even measure. This is the closer to the example the Chief Judge Moore is giving, where most of the product is so small they couldn't measure it, or it's under 0.4 centimeters squared. It does meet that standard.
And well, I mean, when you say more than half, yeah, but it's 82, am I right? 82% of the chunk light and 58% of the albacore tuna meet the definition of minced if the definition is smaller than 1/16th Are those the facts that were found by the lab report? That's what I understood.
Correct, Your Honor. Those are the facts. Those are the
facts. So you're saying that even something that's only 58% minced is still minced?
It's a majority of it minced, yes.
It's just a majority question?
Yes, because it's essential character. I mean, you have to look at what predominates.
It can't be majority. And the reason it can't is suppose that one piece was this big and then 10 pieces were really tiny, right? If we were counting it by pieces, the majority would be minced under that definition, even though when somebody would look at that product upon importation, they would likely just be focusing on the giant piece. Essential character has got to be a fact question that's decided by somebody at some point, because in some instances, maybe it's based on the number of pieces when they're all very close. In other, maybe it's based on volume or weight or whatever. That has to be a fact question. It can't be a one-size-fits-all rule.
It's definitely not a one-size-fits-all, because in that example, I would agree with you. If you have one big piece and then lots of little ones, probably the bigger piece is going to be the more important piece.
That's going to be the essential character of the product.
But those are not our facts. But right. Yes. Just real quick, I know I'm out of time here. This 1/16th of an inch, because you asked the question earlier, where that comes from. I mean, the only source of that, yes, the court below made reference to it as our position, which it's never been. And yes, Customs took that position. When you look at the definitions in the appendix that were cited, again, the court can obviously make this, it is your job to make the decision, but the source of that is skillet.lifehacker.com. It doesn't seem a very authoritative source, and why isn't it 1/17th of an inch or 1/15th of an inch? I mean, it's that one source to me, we just sort of went along with that and said, government, if that's your criteria, we still meet it, but we don't believe there should be a 1/16th of an inch criteria. But if that is going to be some adoption, then, as I said, I'll rest now.
Thank you very much. We thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.